NBA playoffs continue tonight. We told you about the three games. Let's talk NBA. Rick Kamla, host of NBA TV. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on? Hello, Toronto.
Well, Toronto's in a little bit of a, you know, they lost game one again, and so here they are. Must win. We're saying must win for the Raptors tonight. What say you?
Oh, there's no question about it. You can't go down 0-2 and then go back to Milwaukee. You know, a lot of people like to hide from must win. I don't. There are must wins. There are must wins in April in the baseball. If you're 0-10, the 11th game is a must win, and even in baseball, when you've got 162, there are a lot of must wins in sports. This is an obvious one. Even the reluctant must win card players would have to play it on this one. But I'm not worried. This is what Toronto does. You lose game one, especially at home. Kyle Lowry, you know the ebbs and the flows with him. Hopefully, this does not go as long as it did in last year's playoffs when we were, man, it seemed like every night we were covering, you know, Kyle Lowry and when's he going to break out of the slump and hit that long shot and obviously did eventually. But if he slumps this whole series, y'all are going to lose. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
Rick Kamla, NBA TV host, our guest on Brady and Price Sportsnet starting lineup. It's Raps Bucks tonight at the ACC Game 2. You're right about what Toronto has to do. Boston has to do it. Atlanta has to do it. Best of seven series history, Rick. It's not baseball. It's not hockey. Teams down 0-2 in a best of seven series. 10 times out of 273. That's 3%. They've come back. And Cleveland did it last year in the finals, but this ain't Cleveland. The 10 times out of 273 times it's happened.
Yeah, and look, if Boston falls down to zip, that baby's over.
Yeah.
If Atlanta I think the Atlanta series is already over because you've got Marquise Morris beasted Paul Millsap, okay? Marquise Morris is a no-time all-star. Paul Millsap is a four-time all-star, back-to-back-to-back-to-back. And Marquise Morris feasted him. Marquise had a plus-minus of plus 18, and Millsap had a plus-minus of minus 20. I haven't seen domination position man up like that in a while. So I don't think Atlanta's winning that series. But they're on the road for the first two, right? You fall down 0-2, you can still hold serve theoretically if you win 3-4 at home. But Boston, they can't lose tonight, you know, and then go to Chicago down 0-2. And I think you're going to see Isaiah Thomas is going to play his butt off again, but the others are going to play better. The Jaylen Browns, the Marcus Smarts, the Kelly Olynyk, the guys that were bricking shot after shot over the weekend, I think they're going to make those shots tonight.
I think the biggest question concerning the National Basketball Association, people that follow it right now, is who are the Cleveland Cavaliers? Are they the team that had the two losing months? Are they the team that, they flipped a switch, right? They went to Boston. They went, okay, tonight's the night. We really want to show what we can do, and they did. And yet their defense, what are we looking at here with the Cavaliers?
Well, maybe I'll give you a little different answer than I think they're all of that. You know what I mean? And ultimately, I think the Cavaliers are going to get to consistent championship-level basketball, but they're not there yet. You know, they're letting Indiana hang with them and compete with them and make them sweat and make them expend all this energy, but they've won both games. I believe that they're going to go into Indiana and win both games, 3-4, because I think you get on the road, no more complacency. I think the urgency is going to kick in. We're in a hostile environment, the field house, these fans hate us, and I think they're going to plug into that. They're also going to realize how important getting rest is, and that's going to motivate them in game four to go in for the kill. And on the Indiana side of things, what Paul George said last night after the game, throwing Miles Turner under the bus, all of the bigs under the bus, Lance Stephenson under the bus, it is one of the worst displays of terrible leadership I've ever seen in my 15 years at NBA TV. Shame on Paul George for that last night.
I think it's such an unbelievable cliche, this, oh, the best player always takes the last shot. Do people not remember Steve Kerr, John Paxson, Scottie Pippen? Vinnie Johnson won an NBA title in the final game, not Isaiah Thomas or Joe Dumars. Rick, it's such revisionist history. I'll never understand how people think this, because if you're doubled or tripled and you're a superstar, you shouldn't take that shot. Should never take that shot.
By the way, the stats do not bear him out right.
No.
He is 0 for 18 in his career when taking a shot at the end of the game and trying to win a game. 0 for 18. Be quiet.
He's a terrific player. He's a max guy. He's a franchise guy, but he hasn't been clutch. And shame on him for calling out his teammate like that, CJ Miles. I just totally disagree with that. I'm trying to make a driving decision here. The traffic in Atlanta, you guys, is I wouldn't wish this on. I don't know. It's insane. It's literally insane. Where were we? I'm sorry. I'm kind of stressed out here. What are we doing here?
We were 0 for 18. Yeah.
Pardon me, guys. So okay, you passed the rock to CJ Miles, okay, and then you want it back with like 5 seconds left. No, then everybody's saying, what is CJ Miles doing? And why does CJ Miles make millions in the NBA? To score the rock. So, Paul George, if you want that last shot, then you got to manufacture that last shot. Don't pass it and think you're going to get it back. This is a really bad look for Paul George. I think all of us will ultimately, you know, just kind of let it wash away because he's such a fantastic player. He's not a bad guy. He's just making some bad decisions right now.
Yeah. CJ Miles shot 43% this year. I trust him. I trust him in single coverage to take that shot. And if he makes it, we're not even discussing it. What I want to, Rick A. Campbell joining us, NBA TV. There's two, I feel like, obvious blow it up teams if they don't get out of the first round. I unfortunately think one is here. Kevin O'Connor's written about it for The Ringer and said, if you've gone as far as you can with Lowry, DeRozan, and adding Ibaka, that's one thing. So I want to get your read on that. But the other one's the Clippers. If they can't get out against Utah, and I don't know what it means for Doc Rivers, then you've gone 7 years, six, with Paul and Griffin, and now DeAndre Jordan, and it ain't working. Would you blow either of those teams up and give it a fresh start?
I definitely do not think the Raptors are in, you know, win now or blow it up mode. Now, if Kyle Lowry, you know, if y'all don't want to pay him what he wants and he takes a free agent contract elsewhere, then that's a different story. I don't look at that as blowing it up. I fully believe that Toronto, you know, really wants Kyle Lowry back, and Lowry's saying the right things as well. So I don't think Toronto's in, you know, blow it up mode. I think the Clippers, look, they should have traded Blake Griffin when they had a chance because now he's going to be a free agent. I'm not trading for Blake Griffin. If I want Blake Griffin, and I wouldn't because I think he's a total fourth-quarter choker and very, very overrated and despised by most of the league. Mm-hmm. But LA should have already moved Blake Griffin. Now they're stuck with him. And I think I think the Clippers are in real, real trouble. Even without Gobert, I think Utah's going to beat them.